Today's topic that we'll be covering is badminton. It is the second fastest growing sport in India. It is becoming the second most beloved sport in India. We are producing top talent. And speaking about top talent, we have our guest, Shlok Ramachandran. Shlok has been there, done that, achieved a lot. Why badminton? What was your interest?
I didn't have a choice, actually. So when I was seven, my dad had taken membership at this nearby sports club. Randomly, one day, my dad called me up saying that, ki, beta, kya karega? Badminton or tennis. The catch in this was, if I had to play tennis, I had to wait 6 months because the court was still being made. Now, the seven-year-old me and my best friend thought ki homework ke liye 6 months, tennis is not worth it. Let's play badminton. So that is how it all started.
Hi guys, welcome back to All About Sports, the podcast. You guys are joined by a regular host, Mazhar and Aniket. And today we have someone very special. But before I introduce our guest, today's topic that we'll be covering is badminton. Badminton is a sport that is growing rapidly in India. And in fact, it is the second fastest growing sport in India. It is becoming the second most beloved sport in India after cricket. Academies are springing up all across the country. We are producing top talent like PV Sindhu and Saina Nehwal. And speaking about top talent, we have our guest, Shlok Ramachandran. Thank you so much for joining us today, Shlok. How are you doing?
I am good. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on All About Sports today.
And for all our viewers and listeners, Shlok has been there, done that, achieved a lot. His highest world ranking was 32 in men's doubles. He's represented India in 3 world championships, has 7 BWF titles to his name, 4 runner-up medals. His last competition was Lagos, and currently he's pursuing his master's in arts, entertainment, and media management. Shlok, just your introduction, I think it just like leaves me spellbound. You've achieved so much, and you achieved so much, I think, like at the age of 24, 25. So to start off with, you got into badminton, obviously, at a very early age. Why badminton? What was your interest? How did you get into the sport?
I didn't have a choice, actually. So when I was seven, my dad had taken membership at this nearby sports club called Goregaon Sports Club. And he was a true sport lover, and he would go with his family friends, and he would go and play every day in the evening from about 7 to 9. And that would be the time me and my best friend would go and trouble them a lot and won't let them play, basically snatch headers and run away. So then a coach joined, and randomly one day my dad called me up saying that, ki, beta, kya karega? Badminton or tennis? The catch in this was, if I had to play tennis, I had to wait 6 months because the court was still being made. Now the seven-year-old me and my best friend thought ki homework ke liye 6 months, tennis is not worth it. Let's play badminton. So that is how it all started. So it did. So never at 7 or 8 was the ambition to go and play states. Shuru mein the ambition was mummy se homework karayenge. And eventually years passed and it became a little more serious. And I really don't know when it actually became so serious, right? Because I remember my dad telling me and telling his friends at a very early age, when I was very early in my career, that if he could serve straight high to the baseline, I would be like extremely satisfied. But yeah, you know, it's a long way, but no particular reason, man. I mean, 2007, this is what, 2003, 2004. Badminton wasn't that, apart from Gopi sir winning the All England, it wasn't like a huge sport, right? I mean, hockey was much bigger than, tennis was bigger, cricket was obviously cricket, but yeah, there was no other reason to join badminton otherwise.
So one thing that is very interesting about badminton is like how you mentioned Gopi sir also. Gopi Chand sir, in one of his interviews, he recently said that when he started coaching, there were just 10 good courts in Hyderabad, and now there are more than 1,000. And obviously the game has gone to a next level based on how India has been winning a lot. We've been producing top talent. So when you started, when you started, like you said, you just started for fun. But when you actually started getting involved in the sport as compared to where we are in 2021, what changes you've seen in the Indian badminton scene in respect to infrastructure, players, coaching, development, anything? What are the massive changes you've seen?
Basically infrastructure, but more towards the southern states and towards the north. Maybe we haven't got the culture yet in Mumbai, because Mumbai unfortunately has a very club-oriented sporting infrastructure. So you need to be a club member of a club to go actually play there regularly. But that's not the case in Bangalore or Hyderabad or maybe even North. So you've got a lot of pay-to-play centers, right? And there are academies running there. So you pay 400 rupees and then you can go and play. So that has increased. Right now, they say that in Bangalore, every 3 kilometers, you can find about 6 to 8 badminton courts, which is huge. Every generation has had a superstar. It started with Prakash sir in the early 70s and 80s. Gopi sir came in. I wouldn't actually call him a superstar, but okay, he bought a lot more fame. But actually, it was all Saina. The way Saina came in, that medal at the London Olympics was very special for Indian badminton. It opened doors for potentially a lot of younger children to pick up playing the sport, right? And then Premier Badminton League came. Star Sports got the broadcasting rights. Earlier, there weren't any broadcasting rights. But once people start seeing sport or a particular sport from round one, it generates that kind of interest. So is there any Super 100 or Super 750 event right from Wednesday? You will be having the telecast. That makes a huge difference for anybody to pick up the sport. The money has started to come in. There is more money given by the government to the Badminton Association of India. So yeah, so apart from the sponsors coming in, obviously we still have a very long way to go. But viewership is one, sponsorship two. And just the fact that the level of competition in badminton in India has increased tremendously. Like today, if you look at any under 13 or under 15 All India tournament, you will have minimum 1,000 entries. Minimum. That's a lot. That wasn't the case when I was 7 or 8. You would have 400, 500, maybe 600 entries. But now, you ask any third, especially a girl child, just because Saina and Sindhu's exploit, they would say, beta, tumhe kya karna hai? I want to become PV Sindhu. That it's become a household name. So once you become a household name, once you become like, mujhe Sachin banna hai, mujhe Sindhu banna hai, mujhe Saina banna hai, it makes a lot of difference. And that comes only down to the viewership. Today, a 7-year-old can actually watch, if not even Saina, she can watch Tai Zuying or Rachna Ginthanon, but let's say squash. There's no broadcasting deal, right? So how will a 7-year-old, 8-year-old watch it on TV? I mean, obviously you can go and watch it on Facebook Live, but it's not the same thing. That is the huge difference right now.
So I'm going to put you slightly on the spot here, Shlok. You chose to take a hiatus in 2019 after the Lagos. Okay, in 2020. So yep. You wrapped up with 2019 and then decided to take a hiatus. Yep. What made you take such a decision, given that the Tokyo Olympics was scheduled for 2020? So was it... Did you have dreams of representing India in the Olympics, or did you decide to take this decision based on some other factors?
No. I obviously had aspirations to play for the country at the Olympics. So during the 2019 season, we were ranked about 36 or 37. That's myself and Arjun MR, who was my partner. There was a new coach which came in, a foreign coach, and he sort of... ended our partnership, which was tough for me to take just for the fact that, it was 6 months before the Olympics. I thought if you could have changed it after the Olympics, maybe it would have made a lesser difference because no pair directly wins a tournament, right? Once you've done, I thought maybe if you would have given me 6 months to play, I know qualifying was tough because Chirag and Sathu were doing so well, right? It was very difficult. There was 0.001% chance. But still, we had goals and we had ambition. And so that kind of hit me. It was taken away from me, which hurt for a bit. So what happens that when a partnership breaks, when you start a new partnership, you need to start putting in the money by yourself. Mm. So it's that you go from scratch. And then only when you reach the top 25, top 30, you get funded by the government. That is the current rule. So which I felt... coming from a middle-class family, I had the investment, I made some money, when I played with Arjun, but I just felt that, if I put in the money and if it doesn't work out, then I'm nowhere, right? I can't go ahead. I can't go back. I'm kind of stuck. Financially, my finance was one of the reasons why I left, but, apart from that, my dream was taken away from me. Again, I don't matlab talk ill about my coaches, but he is not even the coach of the Indian team anymore. So, and so rather, you know, strange turn of events. But I'm happy. I'm really happy for Arjun. I think his new partnership has started really well with Dhruv Kapila. So yeah, man, no regrets whatsoever. And you know, I wish him, and I still talk to him every day, and not every day, every other week. And you know, I wish him all the best. And you know, we've got a good understanding. And yeah, so no bad blood. But yeah, so that was one of the major reasons of me quitting the sport. And just for the fact that 17, 18 years I've just played the sport, right? I wanted to explore. Ki matlab, what's more to life? You know, I've stayed away from home for like close to 9.5-10 years. I wanted to come back home, spend time with my family as well. So yeah, so multiple reasons, family, finance, dream taken away. So it's like a mixed bag.
Shlok, you know, your story hits us more than you think right now. It hits us majorly. And honestly, why it hits me more is because I've been tracking you and Arjun playing. You guys won 4 back-to-back tournaments, if I'm not wrong. Made five consecutive finals. So that's why it really sucks to hear this right now.
Yeah, I mean, we were good. We weren't making it big at the Super Series level, to, you know, in all fairness to the coach. But yeah, in India especially, we hadn't lost before the finals in the past 3 years. From the 2016 to 2019 season, every time we would play a domestic tournament, we would be on the podium, if not winning. But yeah, when a coach comes and takes you out and tells you that maybe you're not good enough, I mean, it's tough to, you know, fight against the chief national coach, right? Because he calls the shots. I didn't feel that, you know, that I wasn't good enough. I felt that if I was playing at that level, I was definitely good enough. But, you know, it was, you know, a difficult fight to take on, which I didn't want to take on also.
Fair enough. So, one thing I know I'm stepping into Malu's domain. Sorry, Malu. But like, what happens with a lot of athletes in India is you have to do a cost-benefit analysis, right? With your future.
Absolutely.
You literally have to measure your finances before you can make a decision, because it's not easy to pursue sports in India. And one thing I'd like to know is, do you see that changing, like centered around badminton, do you see that changing with a league in place now, with some more investment into the sport? Like, I mean, of course, not. It's not going to be a snap of the finger change. But, I mean, you already mentioned it. I'm sorry, I'm going to taking everyone down that track again. Like, there are now eyeballs on the sport and people watch, which means people enroll, which means there's sponsorship. But do you see that changing? Because, look, it's not to say that you are our age. You are literally our age. And to think that I cannot pursue something because it might not financially support me and my family, it's a very hard decision considering how much time an athlete has to invest you have to begin at a very tender age. So do you think with a new league in place, more investment, do you see this not happening, at least in badminton, I mean, your domain?
Not really, to be honest. Even if you look at the Premier Badminton League, there are a lot of foreigners, right? I mean, you don't have that kind of rule where the IPL says that you can only play 4 Indian players. The only rule in the PBL is that you need to play 1 Indian player in the whole tie. That needs to change. I mean, if not that, if you're keeping that Premier Badminton League saying that, okay, this is a show gala event, you know, this is going to be all fun, then you keep a domestic league in place where, you know, there is practically more Indian players playing. You just look at the numbers in the Premier Badminton League also. I mean, you've got success stories. You've got Satvik Sairaj, Chirag Shetty all doing well. But you look at the number of foreign players playing. It is a lot more. You compare IPL and PBL. Just for example, Thangasaru Natarajan. I mean, what a story, man. What a story. Out of nowhere, the kid has a good season with the Sunrisers. He's gone as a net bowler. He plays all 3 formats, does well, wins India the GABA test match and comes back. I mean, those kind of stories are not happening in badminton. Also, the fact that right now the whole funding situation is that only if you're in the top 25 or 30, you get funded. So unless we do not have more policies of potentially making an A team. This is where I think BCCI does a phenomenal job. They've got an A team, this is called the India A road, which is so good, right? So you've got a continuous backup being made, and you've got more players. Like, he's injured, he's coming. Ashwin out, Sundaran. Jadeja out, Nadeem in. Akshar Patel in. So, like-to-like replacements are coming. We don't have an A team or like an A roster building up. So, most of the 19-20-year-olds are going on their own money. And how long will you sustain it, right? Okay, tomorrow, let's say that Mazhar is a 19-year-old junior national champion. Mazhar has a lot of money. He'll have a lot of family. Only Mazhar can play. But what about Shubham? Shubham is maybe under-19 bronze medalist. He comes from a middle-class family. He cannot afford that. How, in terms of talent, I don't think there's a lot of difference between Mazhar and Shubham. But Mazhar will eventually go on to play more and become better just because of the fact that he's better financially, right? So unless we do not come with better policies, come up with a domestic league, you know, it is not going to change. And I still am at a very good position. There are players below me who are really struggling and who've not even made the top 50, top 60. They eventually join a railways and because they haven't paid a lot of attention to their sport, to their education, they take clerical jobs and, you know, and I mean, one thing is that maybe you start getting more government jobs, you start talking to public sector and or maybe mix corporate into government. Other is possibly making a domestic league. But yeah, but BI has announced that they are revamping the domestic structure, which is going to increase the prize money by a lot, which is a start. Right. But again, long way off.
Another thing also, I think Gopichand sir, he mentioned that in the future, the cost of playing badminton is going to come down because the shuttles are going to become synthetic. So getting into the sport and playing the sport in terms of cost, it will be cheaper for players in the future. So hopefully that can encourage more players. But one thing that I would like to ask you, because obviously you have so much knowledge about the Indian badminton structure and you've played so much. Now, this is just like a fun hypothetical situation. If you were like the chief decision maker in India's badminton association, what would be the top 3 or top 5 changes that you would like to implement in order to boost India's badminton scene?
Number one will be that after the... I would, right at the start of the season, I would keep 4 domestic tournaments. And out of those domestic tournaments, I would make an A team of players ranging between 18 to 22. And I would give them a run for a year with targets saying that, you know, I'm going to give you 8 tournaments. And you know, and with the coaches and support staff, everybody in position, and you go, you meet your targets, you get extended, you play more tournaments. If you do not reach, saying that, okay, let's say you 3 of you are part of that A squad, so your mother, your target is that you have to play at least 2 semifinals at a challenger event. If you do that, then you are extended at the Indian team. Otherwise, you go back to the domestic grind. As simple as how they do it in cricket. You perform well, you go back to Ranji, you get picked, you go come again. So that will be number one. Make a pool of about 30-35 players across all formats. Men doubles, mixed doubles, men singles, women doubles. And back them for a year 18 months, right? Give them the chance and... also send coaches, send good Indian coaches, send good support staff so that they're not lacking anywhere. That'll be number one. Number two will be to possibly make a badminton association of India stadium. Right, that would be number two. Our federation doesn't have a national center of their own. So possibly that would be number two. Number three would be starting a domestic league of our own. Where, you know, we encourage corporates to buy teams, and this will be a year-on league. So something very similar happens in Denmark, where there is a year-long league where the matches are scheduled when there are no tournaments. And it is just like the English Premier League and or any other kind of league. You play about, say, about 12 to 14 league matches, and then you play the semis and the finals. So that and in that, you have the option of a limited slot available to foreigners. So let's say that you've got a team of 10, in that you can take 3 foreigners. That's it. But the rest 7 are Indians. So you've got a quota system. And so you pay them and there is no auction in this, right? You go, you sign players. Tum, how much you can pay, you go, you sign. As simple, there's no auction, there's nothing. Simple how the English Premier League work, there's no auction, right? you want to transfer, you pay a transfer fees, you get him. All the players have to be registered with the league. You come, you sign players, you keep a transfer window. As simple as that. So that would be my number three change. So these three changes, and obviously the revamping of the domestic structure, more money. That would be number four, which they've already done. And possibly my number five would be to get a primary sponsor for Badminton Association of India. And everything, right from equipment, everything, let's say I tie up with Nike. They are not into badminton, just say Nike is into badminton. So Badminton Association of India ties up with Nike and all the equipment is given to the players from Nike. And obviously you will have exceptions like Sindhu, who can have their own private sponsor, but the rest of the lot, they have to play with the Nike products. And obviously the payment has been made according to a certain ranking. Say Mazhar, your rank is 25. So there will be a slab between 20 to 30. You will be paid that much. Say Shubham, you are 60 to 70. So you get paid that much. Only if you reach the top five, you have the option of signing with another brand. Just because I said you've reached the number five. But till then, you play under a banner, which is something which is decided between the federation and the equipment sponsor. That is how it works with Malaysia and Korea. So Malaysia is with Victor. Korea is with Yonex. So every player, if he's with the federation, they get paid from the association, gets paid from Victor, and then they get paid from them. Or you become pro, saying that theek hai agar main sab apna karuga, but then I'm not taking anything from the association. I am completely pro. I take my sponsors, I take my equipment, you don't pay anything. But if you want to, if you want BI to support you, then you do what we say. Especially in all of this. Or you become pro. Tum apna karo, you make your money, you find sponsors, you do, no? So you are two ways about it. You go two ways, but I think that's very important to do that, because only then the 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds will make some money, no? Otherwise equipment contracts are very tough to come by in general. So once the whole federation is with somebody, then obviously you get paid, no? And then obviously then once you go up above the ranks, you will start getting paid more. And that's where the federation is earning money. That's how they are sending you for tournaments. So it's pro. It is pro. And then, yeah. And then the last point, which is very important, is that paying Indian coaches well and giving them targets, saying that, okay, we are keeping you on for 2 years. This is the target we want. So there is enough pressure on the coach, which would put enough pressure on the students. So it is like a cycle. And because there is a lot of pressure on the federation to produce results, so from the media and from the general audience, so it's like a circle, right? So unless there is no pressure on anybody, nobody's like, if I'm Mazhar, if you are the, say, the head coach of men's singles and you're getting paid what, $3,000 a month, you better give me results in a year. Otherwise, you're sacked. Just like the Premier League. I'm paying Thomas Tuchel 15 million a year. I want a top four result. Frank Lampard didn't give me that. He's off. As ruthless as that is how the system works in Malaysia and Korea. The coaches don't produce the results. They are out. Dosal bhar.
Look, if there was a way to vote, I would vote for you so that you become the chief of the Badminton Association. I like your ideas.
I agree.
I like it.
To be very honest, the second last point is kind, it's so good because you get a sponsor in, so kids, essentially you're trying to support the kids from, like, say 17 to 22, 23, who basically don't have a chance of earning money. All right, so you are handing them some cash to begin with. Second, you're sponsoring them with equipment, so you're taking away some of the expenses that they're paying for now to
tournaments
begin with.
Yeah, you're sending them for 8 tournaments a year.
People really underestimate how much it takes to travel for tournaments, right? It's not like everyone has access to the tournament center where the tournament's happening. Intentionally, tournaments are placed in different cities and people have to travel. So you're taking away some expense, even if the travel is not covered. I mean, that would be the one which I would pick in case someone would ask, like, which one do you want them to cover? But yeah, so basically handing them cash, you're taking away some expenses, and you're letting someone at least approach their prime, somewhere close to their prime in a sport, right? You can't expect someone to start producing results at, say, 19, 20. You have to be really special, irrespective of the sport you play. You have to be absolutely special to have that kind of, you know, God tier status that people would approach you to, like, let me sponsor sponsor, you let me cover for your expenses. And most certainly, so in a sport which is not as popular in terms of viewership in the country. So that fourth point, mega. Also, I'm with Shubham. Where's the voting? Where's the voting system for this? Please let us know.
And another
Shlok already has three votes.
Point in this is that the national camp ka list needs to get refreshed every 18 months. Players who are not performing, unfortunately, that is how sport works, right? You know, you've got players knocking on the door. I'll give you a very small example, right? So there is this Indonesian pair called Beri Angrewan and Hardianto. They were 23 in the world. Okay. So when in the 2019 season, for the last 8 months, they didn't perform really well. They didn't cross a single first round. They were out. The world junior champions who had just won, they were in. Imagine world number 23 has been put out of the squad. Recently, this is 2 weeks back, Badminton Association of Malaysia has sacked their world number 11 and world number 10 mixed doubles pair and told them that you are not part of BAM anymore. You will go out and play as professional players. We are not funding you just because for the past 1 year, you haven't produced the results we wanted to get you. Now tell me, can this something like this happen in India? No, it does. It can't. Because it cannot, right? Agar tum world number 10, world number 11 ho, to tum matlab sar pe chad gaye ho, matlab, which is fair, but you make an environment where saying that, you know, nobody's untouchable here. Unless you are, say, Saina or Sindhu, you've reached world number one, theek hai. Special status. Like how Lee Chongwei was given in Malaysia. Special status. No problem. But rest, nobody's untouchable, boss. You don't perform for a year, you will get it on the backside and you are going to be out. Because there are players waiting to come and take your spot. Because there is enough backlash.
Especially in a sport where the spots are limited. So, exactly. Think about F1, right? Out. Okay, no results. Please leave. We have Yuki Tsunoda, who's barely 18.
Yeah. I mean, Nico Hülkenberg hasn't even got a single seat. I mean, that's how ruthless it is. And sport is ruthless. So, the viewership, right?
It helps keep pressure on everyone who's involved, right? Which is kind of pushing towards the result. Towards positive results. So, I understand that philosophy.
That is when you become a sporting powerhouse, right? You know, US is an Olympic sport powerhouse. China is a powerhouse. You look at their systems. That's simple. They're very ruthless. As simple as that. You produce the results, you produce the goods. Very good. We will give you everything. And that is why, because we are supporting you right from your 15. It's not that once you've only become 24 and you've become world number 24, now we'll support you. We have supported you ever since you were 14, 15 and you had just tried to make roads in the Chinese national system. Right. So that is how it works. Now, another story of mine, right? I was 21, 22 when I started playing with Arjun. We had to go to Europe. We had three tournaments. We had the Belgium Open, we had the Czech Open and we had the Polish Open. Total kharcha for three tournaments in Europe, including flight, stay, entry fees, 2 lakh rupees. We did crowdfunding. I got exactly 2 lakhs for that. We went and I had some of my dad, family, friends were very kind enough. Everybody pitched in 30,000, 35,000, 40,000. Otherwise, there's no way I would have actually gone also. Arjun did the same. He got sponsor. Muthoot Finance came in and gave him 2 lakhs. So basically, when we were going there, our budget was that we have to only spend 18 euros a day. Otherwise, we are going over budget. Otherwise, we won't have enough money to complete the tournament. But that is not the kind of pressure you want on a 20-year-old or a 21-year-old when you go for a tournament, right? Saying that, ki boss, 18 euros, chale, jo donor kebab khate, 6 euros mein dinner ho jayega. Which is shit. Yeah, it is not the stuff you have on tournaments. Right, you okay, can't have that shit.
Correct. The pressure should be to perform, not to think about how will
exactly.
You
exactly. Your the pressure should be on giving your 150% every day in practice, so that you go to tournament and you're going out to win. Your pressure shouldn't be that ki boss, 12 euro, 14 euro, finances better. Dekh rahe har din ke baad, bhai kitna euro bacha hai hamare paas. I mean, it, right now when I think about it, it is like ki boss, it is wrong, but. Yeah, I hope that, you know, things change. That is the only thing I can do, right? I hope someday I get to work in the administration part, because you need former players who understand the sport to be a part of the system, right? You look at you look at sports in US, you've got former Olympic medalists, former Pan Am medalists in the setup and trying to figure out things, how they can make it easier. Right now, it's not just getting any easier for the athletes. For the top one, yes. Boss, sab mil jayega. If you're in the top 15 in the world and you are an Indian athlete, tumhe sab kuch milega. But what if you're 35 or 32 or worse enough? What are you? What if you're 55, 100? What then? At the numbers, there are more, na. Upar itne hai, lekin piche to itne hai, na. Uske baare mein koi soch nahi raha. Everybody's thinking, oh, Saina Sindhu. But you look at the number of players who are struggling to meet ends and from phenomenally talented players, right? And this COVID ke wajah se, man, I know so many players who've stopped playing just because they didn't have the financial support and you know, tremendously good athletes, right?
So one thing that I wanted to ask you is because you have spoken so much about like how you would hopefully like to sometime get into the admin part of things and see what you can do. I came across an article which is very interesting about you going to Nagpur in November 2020 where there was a training camp or something like that, where you were the guest, I think, guest of honor, the guest coach or something like that. So when you went out there, I think there were only few players. So did you see any like really good talent, and how do you see India's future talent coming down the pipeline? How do you see?
Unfortunately, I couldn't go there because of the fact that the Nagpur COVID thing was pretty bad. So there wasn't a lot of movement allowed. So that was taken back. But in terms of talent, right, I run an academy in Goregaon Sports Club on the weekends. There's phenomenal talent. I mean, there is absolutely no shortage of talent in India. Don't mistake me that, you know, we've not got talent. We've got tremendous talent. We've got some amazing players in the wings. You look at, it is just that they need to be groomed. Matlab, वो बोलते हैं ना कि दंगल में डायलॉग है ना कि मतलब चैंपियंस ऐसे बनते नहीं हैं उनको फूल के तरह यू मतलब पानी डालो सनलाइट दो एंड ऐसे ऐसे करके बनाए जाते हैं चैंपियंस. इट इज अ लॉट ऑफ वर्क. लाइक अगेन राइट प्लेयर्स लाइक लक्ष्य सेन हु बीन सपोर्टेड बाय ओलंपिक गोल्ड क्वेस्ट फॉर अ वेरी लॉन्ग टाइम. दैट इज वाई लक्ष्य सेन इज लक्ष्य सेन टुडे. बट आइडली विद अ कंट्री लाइक इंडिया विच गॉट अ मेडल एट द ओलंपिक्स इन 2012, वी शुड हैव हैड एटलीस्ट 3-4 लक्ष्य सेन्स बाय नाउ अक्रॉस कैटेगरीज. टुडे it is very sad to say that after Sikki Reddy and Ashwini Ponappa, who? Right, who next? After Saina and Sindhu, who? Do you know anybody? Right, general public. Tum yehi puch lo cricket mein, who after Virat Kohli? Sidha, Shubman Gill, Prithvi Shaw. Who after Jasprit Bumrah, Mohammad Siraj? General public, no. You know, na, but who? Right, no, right. But so. Yeah, you need to nurture them. So a good scouting system has to be in place. I know a lot of good talented players, but there needs to be a good scouting system in place. And you know, you need to give them the chance to go and express themselves on the tour, at least for a year. If you know, to see that, you know, if they can make it at the series challenge level, because series challenge level is a very early stage where you can understand how well the player can do. If the player cannot do well at the series challenge level, he's possibly not going to do well at the Grand Prix or the Super Series level. But you need to give chances. What's the point of playing so well at the domestic event? You win tournaments every 2 months, but kya? You're not getting sent anywhere. Tomorrow you again play those tournaments. Winner gets 50,000 rupees. Doubles mein it splits 25-25. What's the point? I mean, Ranji mein yehi fayda na. You go, you make 1,000-1,200 runs. If not the Indian team, you're getting selected in the India A team, no? What's the point of continuously winning domestic tournaments when there is no end game to it? That needs to be sorted. Saying that, okay, boss, ki you win 4 tournaments here, this is what you will get. Then there will be motivation. Today, there is no motivation to play domestic tournaments apart from the money. Now, with the new revamp system, maybe the money will get in the motivation. Then, okay, boss, 25 lakhs total prize money. Agar jeeta, toh lakh rupay milenge. Good enough. 4-5 din ka kharcha, roughly if you go to any city in India, 25-30,000 ka kharcha, 70,000 agar jeeta to milega mujhe profit. That would take out a lot of my expenses. But apart from that, you need some motivation. Ki, okay, boss, you know, if I play 4 tournament, maybe I could get into the India A team. Maybe I could get funded for a year. And then you start thinking, boss, ye tournament mein jaake achha karna hai. At least final pocha, to karna hai. But again, yeah, that is how you need a good scouting system. Everything works on pressure, right? It's like a circle. It's like a vicious circle or a cycle. which at some point of time needs to start, and I hope somewhere down the line it does, because otherwise we will, matlab, the kind of traction we've gained on the sport will eventually go off, right? Tomorrow, if nobody performs at the World Tour, Star Sports is not going to continue to broadcast it in India. So today, we are privileged to be in an era where you've got the likes of H.S. Pranoy, Kidambi Srikanth, Parupalli Kashyap, Saina Nehwal, Satvik Sairaj, Chirag Shetty. But there will be a time when they will fade away, right? They're not going to play forever. And you need somebody to replace them, and so that people still watch the sport. If tomorrow Star Sports doesn't see the TRP, why? It is a business-making thing for them, right? They're not going to do it just for the fact that, oh, we love badminton, right? We are in it for the money. And then once the broadcasting goes, then the sponsors goes, then the traction goes, right? So we've built up so much over the years. It is time, and the traction has gone down, to be honest. We do not want to lose traction. And I hope that, you know, we do not, because it's taken time, right? It's taken a lot of effort. It's taken a queen like Saina Nehwal to bring this back, right? You don't want the efforts to go into waste just because of the fact that we haven't capitalized on the sport. This is where I think BCCI does a phenomenal job, right? They capitalize on everything. And as much as sometimes I listen to my fellow badminton players saying that, "Arey, kya cricket?" But that is the mehnat of BCCI. That is the work they've put in. Look at their marketing right from their 80s. Once Kapil Dev won the World Cup, till then to Doordarshan mein aa raha tha na. But then Sachin came, the poster boy came. Then came deals, then Pepsi came on, and dheere, then it evolved, then the IPL came in and gone strength to strength. So I have to give a lot of credit to how BCCI has done their job, right? Lot of credit. It is just not ki matlab aise cricket has become the heartthrob of the country. For us, it is like this, but people at BCCI know that, you know, how much time it has taken today, that they're untouchable. It's so good right now.
So one thing I want to know from you, Shlok, is like how we spoke about certain academies in India. You have the Gopi Chandra Academy, you have Prakash Padukone's Academy, and you are a person who's gone abroad and played so much. I think you played in more than like 40 different countries. So yeah. I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity to visit academies abroad, but seeing the academies and infrastructure in India, and can you give like a general sense in terms of comparison, where do we stand with international standards?
In terms of state of the art, for the longest of time, we've had Prakash Padukone Academy, now backed by Infosys, and the Pulela Gopichand Badminton Academy. I've been very fortunate to train at both the places. State of the art, absolutely state of the art. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Then in the next line, you've got Anup Sridhar's Academy at Bangalore, and then you've got the Suchitra Academy, but then some of them do not have grounds. Ek cheez lacking hai. Some maybe have a physiotherapy wing, some do not. But completely, if you look at bases covered from A to Z, there are only two academies. Most of them have a lot of courts and stuff. But the thing here is that if you look at, say, China has got 20 courts in every district. So what happens there is that every district, say, the best players go into province ke best center pe. वहां से पिक होके देन दे गो टू द नेशनल सेंटर. सो इतना स्ट्रीमलाइन हो रहा है कि इवेंचुअली जो पहुंचते हैं ना वहां पे, दे आर वर्ल्ड बीटर्स एंड दे प्ले द नंबर्स गेम क्वाइट क्लियरली. दे ट्रेन सो मच सेइंग दैट, सो अवर 70% 60% विल प्रोबब्ली ब्रेक डाउन एंड दे वोंट प्रोबब्ली मेक इट. बट देन दैट 30% 40% विल मेक इट टू द प्रोविंस एंड दैट उसमें 20% विल मेक इट टू द नेशनल सेंटर ना, मोर ऑफन देन नॉट दे विल बिकम वर्ल्ड बीटर्स मोर ऑफन देन. सो दैट इज हाउ वी वर्क. सो आइडियली just in terms of purely badminton, the way to go about this is that we need to have regional academies. A West Zone Academy, a South Zone Academy, a East, a Northeast, and a North and a Central Zone Academy. So you look at players performing well in their respective state tournament, then you have a zonal tournament, and then these guys are picked to play over there. And they train, and then they graduate if they are good enough to the national center once they do well at the All India. But again, that regional center needs to be fully funded, where we are not putting our own money, right? Or it has to be linked with a school saying that, okay, if you've joined at 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, you're also doing your studies, because hey, studies is important, right? You don't want to be, matlab, okay, you've got the one of 10 dropout doing very well, but it's not going to happen with everyone. So you keep till you keep high school attached, 9, 10, 11, 12, you study. If you make it, fair, but if you don't make it, you can still go to college, right? Because you've done your HSC. It's a recognized. So ideally a regional academy attached to a school where there will be more attention towards the sport you're playing, but for the fact that you are also studying, right? And you 5-6 hours a day, you are doing your classes. So that is how it works with Malaysia. They've got the Singapore School of Sports works, and Malaysia also works with something like that. Because again, you need education, right? Otherwise, there's no backup. Unfortunately, we do not have that. I've seen so many players putting everything into badminton, putting all of their eggs in one basket, that if it doesn't work out, kuch kiya hi nahi, kuch knowledge hi nahi. Like that doesn't need to happen. You look at athletes in the US, you look at athletes in the UK, if they do not make it as pro athletes, they have another career waiting. They do that just because like their basics are strong. We are at a point that we have to make sure that there is enough balance both. So is that if we are playing the numbers game and people don't somehow make it, their lives are not ruined, right? They'll pick up and they'll do something else. So yeah, so that is the way forward. Regional academies with a school, find the best cream of players in under 13, under 16, under 19, and only have players till that much. 17, 18, they graduate. Chalo, bahar. Either you make it to the national center or you become professionals. There are only two ways. But till you mold them till you are 15 to 18, that is the way, because that is when you understand, right? Kaun kitna paani mein aur kaun kitna nahi.
So a bit on the lighter note now, Shlok. Yes. I know you ardently follow tennis. I've seen it. You really are a fan of Daniel Medvedev, like Krishna.
I am a big Djokovic fan. Medvedev is also good, but yeah. I'm a big Djokovic fan. I'm a huge Chelsea fan. We know that.
That's why we chose not to comment on that. That's not a topic we want to touch upon only.
Yeah, I mean, especially with Tuchel doing so well and we are back in the top four. If you had asked me which club I support till a month back, I would have probably said no. But now I'm in good spirits right now that Chelsea is doing well. But just the fact that I've always been a sporting fanatic, be it cricket, be it F1, be it tennis, be it TT, I've always had a knack to watch a lot of sports, and I still do. Like in my set-top box at home, there is one thing which will have all channels. I have channels like Eurosport HD also in my set-top box.
So do I. I sit and watch EuroLeague basketball on that.
Exactly. So I'm just a very keen watcher of the sport. And yeah, I mean, I watch anything and everything. So
very, very good question that I have for you. So who would you say is your favorite athlete of all time across sports?
That's a tough one, right? I mean, there's so many good ones. You've got Usain Bolt, you've got Michael Jordan, you've got LeBron James, you've got Novak Djokovic, Roger Federer, you've got Lin Dan, Lee Chong Wei.
Okay, pick one. Just pick one.
Pick one, I would probably... right now, maybe say Novak Djokovic. I mean, he's amazing, right? From what he was to what he is now, and he gets a lot of hate sometimes, I understand, because he's in an era of players like Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer too, but to stand and make a name for yourself in that era, and that's why I've got tremendous respect for Andy Murray as well, because it's not easy to be in an era of two greats like Rafa and Federer. Similarly, like Lin Dan, Lee Chong Wei, when those two were there, it was very difficult to break into that. But Novak Djokovic is there, and just the fact that, you know, he's such a marketable athlete, right? And right now, my other favorite right now is Naomi Osaka. I think she's fantastic. I just love the way she handles herself off court also. So yeah, Novak Djokovic is my current favorite athlete.
After taking a name, you were blushing quite a bit. You're crushing it.
Naomi Osaka. Oh, Naomi Osaka. Who doesn't blush? Yeah, Naomi Osaka. I mean, Naomi Osaka, dik jayegi to main gir jaunga. Kya blush karne ke baad? Om Shanti Om. Aisa karke main gir jaunga.
Shlok, you are saying this. Imagine us. Three of us. still played with international athletes. You yourself are an international athlete.
I'm a married man. Two of you.
बेचारे वाइफ है यार उसके क्या मतलब तुम मतलब पानी में डाल रहे हो देखेंगे
and she diligently watches this podcast guys please please help me out of here
please Shubham is out of this
Juhi I didn't say anything please blame Mazhar
Juhi I met Juhi 2 days back only she catch me first anyway but a bit again more questions on the lighter note only Shlok
yeah
so who else have been your mentors growing up in badminton and who have helped you reach the levels you did?
So on Guru Purnima, I always wish one of my, you know, extremely close doubles coach. So his name was Vijaydeep Singh Nita, former national champion, has played the Asian Games. I think a lot of credit, I give a lot of credit of my game to him because, you know, we had that connection as an Indian coach, put a lot of work, with, especially with me and Arjun. Put a lot of work. So Vijaydeep Singh Nita, he doesn't get a lot of credit, but I hope that if he's listening this, that you know, you deserve a lot of credit in Indian badminton, especially in doubles and what you get. Apart from that, Kim Tan Her, who was the Malaysian coach who formed Arjun and myself, and is probably the reason why Chirag and Satvik are doing well. He's a Malaysian now. He is at the Japan setup, doing extremely well for himself. One of the best coaches I've ever worked with, to be honest. So. So I've been very fortunate to have very good seniors and very good coaches. So Vijaydeep Singh Nita and Kim Tanner possibly as my favorite coaches. And just in terms of the seniors I've had, Kashyap and Pranoy and Sameer, Shrikant, and all of them, so giving and, you know, never shy away from giving advices and just take care of you so well, especially when you're a freshie in the team, right? There's absolutely no senior junior ka panga. I've enjoyed my time traveling with them, you know, being Thomas Cup teammates with them. So very good coaches, very good seniors also. So yeah. And especially with doubles also, Pranav Chopra, Pradnya Gadre, obviously Chirag and Satvik, you know, we were teammates, absolutely rock stars, both of them are. So yeah, I mean, I've had fantastic teammates, fantastic seniors and, you know, very, very nice coaches over the years. Because that is what has made me what I am today. There's no other reason. If I wouldn't have had my support system in place, my parents who wouldn't have taken that punt saying that ki chalo bachche ko sport mein dalte, right? My mom, when she saw my pre-board marks of 39%, I thought mera badminton career udhar hi khatam ho jata. But yeah, I was very fortunate that mom and dad told that ki ja beta khel, see what happens. And I'm super glad because badminton has made me what I am today. So I'm eternally grateful to the sport forever.
And we are grateful to you, Shlok. Honestly, it's at the end of the day, it's a pleasure to have you on board. You have made an entire nation proud by all you've achieved. And you stand for a lot of the youth. And hopefully, you know, we'll see many more people like you in the near future. And hopefully,
just many more people like you. We would like you also to come back, man. Please make a return and come back to the sport.
Never say never, man. I always tell this. Never say never. I'm possibly in the fittest condition of my life. I train a lot. I still train a lot without any goal or purpose. Never say never. Hopefully, some sponsor comes in and gets me back on court saying that, boss, you go, you play the tournaments. I'll fund you. You just go out there and play. Any potential owners, potential corporates who want to sponsor me, I'm still in the game. I still train every day. I still train about 6 hours a day. So, I say never say never. Keep doors always open. You never know when what opens up, right? So,
Krishnan earns in dollars. We'll get Krishnan to sponsor you. It's okay. Krishnan earns in dollars.
Best. Dollars are the best, na?
What I would like to say is, honestly, Shlok, I think all three of us feel the same way. Thank you so much for being a part of this, sharing your insights, sharing your stories, giving insights to our viewers and listeners about the India scene, where we can be and how things are developing in our country. And yeah, to you also for everything that you've achieved for India, everything you've achieved in the sport. I'm sure there are a lot of people who will look up to you and would like to join the sport. So you're just a fantastic athlete and it was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us today. And for all our viewers and listeners, Shlok also runs a podcast. So Shlok, can you talk a little bit about your podcast to our viewers and listeners?
Yeah, so similarly, like you guys, I run a podcast of my own on the IBM Podcast Network along with my co-host Tanvi Lad, who's also who's still pursuing and still is a pro badminton player. It's called the Millennial Athlete with Tanvi and Shlok. So a new episode drops in every Monday. You can find it on any podcast platform you listen to. Just type the Millennial Athlete and you'll get it. So the basic point was to, talk about policy, talk about sport, talk about athletes and their journeys and what's made them their stars today. And to basically let the viewers understand that the fame and the money is the end game, right? But the hard work starts when you are 7 and 8 and there's a lot of sacrifice. But we are branching out. We are talking about policy. We are talking about sports, psychology. We're talking about a lot of things. And obviously we do get some banter considering we have some of our friends on the show. So we do get a lot of dirt and we also get a lot of banter. So if anybody, wants to listen about me and Tanvi talking about a lot of sport, please go tune in every Monday. We get a new episode. You can follow us on our social media. You'll get your updates anyways. Once again, thank you so much. All of my three hosts today who for a change got me as a guest. It's really heartening to see people talk about sport and trying to make a change. I wish you guys all the best and all the luck, and hopefully you will be on a production platform extremely soon. So lot of best wishes, and keep going, keep continuing your journey, and you never know what will happen. So thank you so much once again. It was my pleasure to be on. And good luck to all of you, and I'll keenly watch all of your episodes in the future.
That's great to know.
Thank you so much.
To all the viewers, we'll put in a link to Shlok's podcast in the description below. And the usual, like, share, comment, subscribe. And we shall see you guys again next week. Thank you.
Thanks, Shlok.